just turned 67 a week or two ago. So the glasses are on. There we go. No more. Yeah, I can't fake it any longer. This morning's scripture reading is Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. Then an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road." So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home, seated in his chariot. He was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" He replied, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe this generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip began to speak, and starting with this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down to the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he was passing through the region, he proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. This is the word of the Lord.
Let us bow our heads in prayer after we've listened to God's word. Almighty God, thank you that you speak to us in many different ways, but none more directly than through your word that's been with us all the time, your word that will be with us for all eternity. So thank you for the opportunity to be together as your people. I pray that you will speak to us now, and that the Holy Spirit will open our hearts and our minds to receive what you wish to share with us. And may we all be changed, God, by your word. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. You know, most of us, I think, find clear-cut categories helpful, right? Because they make life easier to understand. It's either black or it's white. You're either red or you're blue. It's either or. But I think real people don't fit neatly into those kinds of boxes. Because as human beings, we are full of tensions and paradoxes. And if we can manage to embrace those tensions and those paradoxes, I think it can bring an immense depth and beauty to life. And so for the next few weeks, we're going to explore how faith in Christ calls us away from an either-or experience of the world and into the wonderful truth of both and. Both and. Not either-or, but both and. Let me see, I mean, how many of you would consider yourself to be a head person? You know, you're more of a thinker. You're more of a person who uses rationale and intellect to have perspective on things. That's mostly your approach to life. How many of you would say you're more of a head person? Okay, and how many of you consider yourself to be more of a heart person? You know, feelings are more important to you. You're more emotional and intuitive and feeling-based when it comes to approaching life. Yeah, you know, John Wesley had an interesting experience. It's called the Aldersgate story, or his Aldersgate experience. On May 24, 1738, he was attending a Moravian meeting on Aldersgate Street in London. And he was listening to a reading from Martin Luther's preface to the Epistle to the Romans when he felt his heart strangely warmed. There was this bridging of head and heart. It was a dynamic connection between his intellectual understanding of God, in other words, his head knowledge about faith and about God, and a personal felt experience of God's love and God's grace, something that really engaged his heart. And before Aldersgate, he felt something was missing. You know, he wrestled with questions like, am I really sure I'm saved? I believe in God, but why is there a lack of peace and joy? But then this Aldersgate experience provided Wesley with a profound sense of assurance that his sins were forgiven through faith in Christ alone. He realized that his salvation was a gift of God's grace. It was not something he had to earn, you know, through his own efforts or adherence to religious practices. And this newfound assurance wasn't merely a mental affirmation, but it was a deeply personal and transformative encounter with God's love. So he felt a renewed sense of purpose and motivation in his life and in his faith. And before Aldersgate, his obedience to God was mostly motivated by fear. Now it sprang from gratitude and from love. And he was set on fire to serve God and to save souls. And so he dedicated his life to spreading the message of salvation by grace through faith. And this message became the heart of the Methodist revival. And it impacted not only England and America, but ultimately truly influenced countless lives worldwide. And so what happened, you know, with Wesley at Aldersgate is a powerful reminder that we can receive God's grace. We can feel God's joy. We can experience new life in Christ. It's a promise that's really available to anyone. And what's important is that we can have an intellectual acceptance of Christian beliefs, but we can also have a personal and a heartfelt encounter with God's love and with forgiveness. So in Mark 12, you know, Jesus talks about loving God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. You see, we may experience God and show God and love God in ways that fall into different categories. Heart and feelings, soul, mind, strength, action. And different people tend to experience and show and love God in different ways, by the way. And that's all good, okay? We don't have to put these different ways or put them against one another. No, God shows us that in faith, the head and the heart do not compete, but rather complement one another. We don't have to choose between an intellectual faith and an emotional faith. In fact, Jesus explicitly calls us to love God and to love self and to love our neighbor with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. So, you know, when we go to our passage that that Vic read, I mean, that's what we see in this scripture passage from Acts, how God's Spirit moves in both the minds and the hearts of Philip and this Ethiopian official. And God calls them to a faith that engages their full humanity. So I just want to point out a few things from this story to you. First, we see that both Philip and the Ethiopian official engage their head and their heart, right? We see that Philip follows the Spirit's leading. He obeys what God puts in his heart. The Lord's angel said to Philip, "Go south along the desert road that leads from Jerusalem to Gaza." And so Philip left. God puts it in his heart to go down the wilderness road and join the official's chariot, and he does so. If it was only up to his reason, he may not have done that, take that particular route. And then Philip uses what he knows about Jesus and what he knows about Scripture, and he explains it to the official. He helps him understand what he was reading in Isaiah, and he explains the good news about Jesus, not just to the official, but it says after that he went from town to town all the way to Caesarea telling people about Jesus. And we see that the Ethiopian court official was engaging his mind, right? He's reading from Isaiah. And he has this desire to understand more. Some questions come up for him as he reads it, and he wants some answers. And so he invites Philip to sit next to him in the chariot, and the official said to Philip, tell me what the prophet was talking. Was he talking about himself or about someone else? So he says, explain this to me. You know, when Isaiah says, like a sheep led to the slaughter, like a lamb who's quiet while its wool is being cut, he was shamed and he was treated unfairly. Is he talking about himself or is he talking about someone else? Because I want to understand this, right? But this wasn't just an intellectual pursuit for the official. When Philip told him about all of this and how this relates to Jesus and the good news of how Jesus died for our sins and salvation, it moves his heart. It moves him to the point that he wants to do something about it. He wants to be baptized immediately. And as they were going along the road, they came to a place where there was some water, and the official said, "Look, here's some water. Why can't I be baptized?" And he ordered the chariot to stop, and then they both went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. And it says he was emotional, and he rejoiced because of his baptism. So the point I'm trying to make is it's important for us to engage both head and heart in our faith. It's not either head or heart. It's both head and heart. So we are called to cultivate a faithful mind as well as a faithful heart. Both intellectual understanding and emotional experiences, an integrated process of our spiritual growth. And if we ignore the heart, it can lead to a faith that's, you know, just dry and academic. If we ignore the head, it can lead us to a faith that is unstable and overly sentimental. So let me conclude by giving you just a few ideas on how to engage, okay, both your head and your heart in your own spiritual growth and faith. To deepen your intellectual understanding of what it is that you believe, you can, of course, study Scripture. You can study theology. But you have to go beyond just casual reading, and you need to gain some deeper knowledge. You can use study guides or commentaries to explore challenging questions. And by the way, ask questions, okay? Embrace curiosity. It's not wrong to ask questions of your faith. I think it's necessary that you ask questions. Because when you have an open and inquisitive mind, you're able to explore the deeper truths of our existence and pursue a renewed mind. The Bible says, you know, do not conform yourselves to the standards of this world, but let God transform you inwardly by a complete change of your mind. Then you'll be able to know the will of God and what is good and is pleasing to Him and what is perfect. So be committed to transforming your thought life by aligning it with biblical principles. And engage your heart, okay? It's not just about your head. Engage your heart. And you know what the heart involves? Emotions and intuition and a personal relationship with God. To engage your heart, you can practice something called experiential prayer. Experiential prayer can move you beyond, you know, routine prayers or stale prayer or rote prayers. For instance, you can use worship music to enter into prayer with God. You can go for a prayer walk in nature. You can use your imagination to place yourself within biblical stories. What was it like? What was it like for this character and for that character? You can start your prayer by asking, what do I most desire to connect with your truest feelings? And another way to engage your heart is to be emotionally honest with God. Don't suppress your anger or your grief or your confusion. Bring your full emotional spectrum into your conversation with God. Go read the Psalms. It's a powerful example of processing emotions through prayer. And find emotional stillness. You know, create some quiet time to just sit in God's presence, to just listen. Because if you do this, some of the emotional clutter will subside. You can hear what God might be saying to your heart. And cultivate some gratitude. Regularly give thanks for your blessings, both large, small. It'll help you stay intimately connected with the presence of God in your life. And then finally, you know, we want to move knowledge from the head into the heart, where it can be lived out through action. Head, heart, action. So engage in this community. Participate in church where you can discuss your faith, where you can receive encouragement from others, where you can share your struggles with others. And you know what? Sometimes we need honest feedback from others who love you, who can help you gain some self-awareness in your life. And serve others. Because when you serve others, it makes your faith tangible. Jesus' call to love and serve neighbors can be a powerful driver of spiritual growth. And finally, we need to embrace paradox and mystery. You have to recognize, you know, that when it comes to God and faith, you and I cannot understand everything, okay? We cannot understand everything through reason alone. So true faith acknowledges that some aspects of the divine are simply beyond human comprehension. And we just need to find peace in this mystery. So again, it's not either or, both and. We're full of inconsistencies and contradictions. Our lives are full of tensions and paradoxes all the time. But when we can embrace them, when we don't have to put everyone and everything into a little box, it can bring immense depth and beauty to life. So it's not either their head or their heart. Having faith is not just about believing the right things or just feeling a certain way. Faith in Jesus brings together both head and heart, both understanding and experience. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, we live in a time and in a world where people want to draw that line so deliberately. You're either this or you are that. But that's not who we are. We are complex. There's so many paradoxes in who we are and what we think and what we feel and what we believe. And so help us to understand that it's not either or, it's both. Both and. And if we can acknowledge that about ourselves, I think, God, there's more room for us to be loved and to love others. And for some of us, faith can be something that's so dry. And for others, it can be something that's very sentimental. But help us to understand that neither one is wrong. It's just you want for us to engage both our minds and our hearts. May your Spirit lead us and enable us to do that. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.